All right, here's what I want us to start this afternoon. I want us to actually pray. What I'm going to be talking about this afternoon's session is a very interactive session, so you're welcome to ask questions as I'm talking. So don't wait until the end. Just ask your question if you want to. I can handle it. Don't worry. I've done it several times. I know what I'm doing. and what I want us to talk about is to talk about the partnership that exists between a church member, the message of the gospel, and the community of the gospel. What exists between a church member, you as an individual church member, the message of the gospel, and the community of the gospel, the community of God's people. Now, we're talking about building a church building and all that. And I know that we see it as a, what did you say? A sideshow, yeah. Can I even say to you that it is a sideshow and the main show at the same time? It is a sideshow and the main show at the same time. Because when I was young, and I was growing up, even till today, part of the problem that we have with church is the fact that church doesn't always make it easier for us to bring people there. Church doesn't always make it as easy as possible to actually bring someone to that place. Now, how many of you are here that you actually invite someone to church and you wish, I want them to come, but not to my church. I'll probably take them to church down the street. Let's be totally, completely, and absolutely honest. Anyone has done that? Now, my church is cool, but, you know, I wish they would change that, because if they do that, then I'll be able to bring someone. But I'll take them to the church down the road. It's okay. I have that same challenge in the church I pastor at the moment. Is the idea that when we get so cool together, we become a holy club to the point where people cannot come in. But imagine what is possible. Just imagine for a moment what is possible when the community of believers, the community of the gospel, like you are Southside International, when you come together in great partnership with the message of the gospel and every individual member, imagine what could happen when you do that. Imagine the amount of leverage that the church will have if it could work together. Because, and I say this very carefully, the go and make of the gospel is not in any contradiction with the come and see of the gospel. The go and make command has no contradiction with come and see. Both of them are in the scriptures. That's how the apostles met Jesus. Come and see, we've met the Messiah. Come and see for yourself. And then Jesus says, go and make, go and make, come and see, go and make, come and see, go and make, come and see. Both of them, in fact, perhaps we need to get to a place where we can start talking about show and tell. Show and tell. And I know that is very, very, you know, high sort of thinking, but I'm going to bring it out to us in a very simple way so we can actually get to understand it. But before we do that, I actually felt that we should actually pray. We should actually pray. And here's what I want us to pray for fundamentally. And here's what I want us to pray. I'm going to say a statement that will help you in the prayer. The partnership of the gospel is the most joyful partnership you will ever be a part of. The partnership of the gospel is the most joyful, most fulfilling, most rewarding, most outstanding partnership that you and I will ever be a part of. Southside International, I'm saying to you that as you come together as a street congregation, your partnership in the gospel is the most fulfilling, rewarding, joyful partnership you could ever think of. And where did I get that principle from? From Philippians. Because the partnership of the gospel, let me tell you what the partnership was. Let me put it this way. The fellowship of the gospel is the most joyful fellowship you've ever be a part of. See, Paul used fellowship and partnership together in Philippians. And you know what he was doing? Sorry, sir, what's your name? Alex. I got it right, yes. And your name, sir? So Alex and Daniel come together to start a fishing business. Let your imagination go. So Alex and Daniel come together to start a fishing business. They are going to put their money into the business, right? But they're also going to put themselves into the business. It's not just their effort, it's also their money. They're going to put themselves as well, their entire time, into the business as well. It is in that same sense of partnership that Paul uses the word fellowship in Philippians. That you guys, Philippi, you partnered with me in praying and suffering with me, in standing for the gospel with me, even when it was difficult. But you didn't do that. You also put your money where your mouth is. You also gave of yourselves. And it is that sense of joy that actually brings glory to God. So here's the prayer point. Southside International, my prayer for you, as I've been praying and praying for this camp and looking forward to it and wanting to be here, and I could do this for this afternoon and tell you to go and sleep if we do this and get it right. I'm going to go sleep and enjoy yourself the rest of the day. We're not going to do that, so don't worry, we'll be here. But my heart and prayer for this church, and for any church of that matter, even for the church, the little English congregation that I pastor, is that we will enjoy the fellowship of the gospel in all its fullness. Even if it includes our heart, our mind, our money, in the fullness of it, that we will enjoy the fellowship of the gospel. Because the fellowship of the gospel is the most joyful fellowship you will ever be a part of. Because no one can outshine God. Don't even try. You'll be insulting him. My prayer for you, and our prayer, we want to pray together. I want you to pray with all of your heart. And if you push it to cry, go ahead. Let it go. But here's the prayer I'm asking you to pray. For the Hmong congregation, the Mandarin congregation, the English congregation, it is a partnership in the most beautiful sense of the word. I can't even know how to express it. I can't, if I open myself to you, you will see me filled with joy to hear that. My wife is there, and she's been wonderful looking after our little daughter. Thank you, babes. Oh, sorry, guys. But thank you, babes. Thank you, love, for all you do. She made it easier for me to do what I do. Without her, I am nothing. Well, without God, we're nothing. So you understand what I'm trying to say. But it's the same sense that this is a wonderful partnership, and you mustn't take it for granted. Because God has strategically positioned you within the Alliance movement to be a picture of something beautiful and wonderful. To be a taste of the kingdom of God. May you continue to enjoy the fellowship of the gospel. May you continue to enjoy the grace and peace of the gospel. May you continue to partner together, even when it is risky, when it is good, when it is bad, when it is lovely, whatever the case may be, whatever is thrown at you, whatever people say at you, may you continue to consistently, constantly, every day, every time, every hour, may you continue in everything that you do as a congregation, as a family of different cultures, may you continue to enjoy the fellowship of the gospel. May you continue to live in the reality of this joyful call. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So may that building help you to fulfill that. May that building be what the community of people coming together to do. May it help you achieve that. Because God will use even the most stupidest of things to bring people to him. And he'll go to any length to do that, even if it includes building a building. So here's the prayer. May we continue to enjoy the fellowship of the gospel. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes us, wherever it takes us, however long it takes us, may we continue to to enjoy the fellowship of the gospel. Did you get my drift? Did you get the prayer point? That's the only prayer point. And for the next 5 minutes, I'd like us to go into our groups of 4, 5, 2, 3, 4 people, however many. And may that be the prayer that you pray, that you will continue to enjoy the fellowship of the gospel. Because the fellowship of the gospel is the most joyful fellowship, is the most joyful partnership you and I would ever be a part of. So, let's get into our groups, and let's pray that prayer before God. And let's pray as honest as we can, because God hears prayers. Okay. If you're still praying, carry on praying. I'm just going to carry on talking so we can keep to time. So this session, I'm going to try and give you a shorter version of a full version of what I'm going to say. And so I'm not preaching in this session. I'm just sharing and helping you to understand some things. Now, for this entire weekend, sir.
You said that we've been rapturing.
Yes. Oh, okay.
I'm so touched. What you've said already this afternoon has caused a thing in my heart to just burst. I was invited to lunch today by 3 of my mom brothers. And I don't know, they didn't know what for, but I knew they were in the middle of a discussion. And we spent the next 40 minutes discussing partnership. And God has planted a seed of partnership with the 4 of us. That has just made my heart explode. And it's just an answer to prayer that we've just prayed in, even before it happened. So, yeah, I just thought I'd share that with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. Let's give a hand to the Lord. A hand to the Lord. What I'm going to do is give you a shorter version, and thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you. A shorter version of a full version, because I know that it's after lunch and we all get tired afterwards. I'm aware of that. And it's an interactive session, so if you have questions or comments to add to what I'm saying, that's great. We can talk about that as well. I may just move to the end or move to the middle, depending on how I go and how I say things run in my head. But I want you to see how beautiful that partnership can be in a way as well. I will talk a lot about that tomorrow morning, by the way. That will be when I will dwell on that a lot more. But the question I'm asking this afternoon is, why follow? Why follow? And the way I'm answering that question is, why did Jesus come? Again, remember what I said in the morning, I answer questions, especially sort of questions with questions. When it comes to theological things, I try to answer them by asking other questions, because all the answers are there in the scriptures. And sometimes when we dig deeper in asking very correct, sense questions, we get to the answers as we keep digging and digging and digging into God's reality. And so why follow is what I'm talking about. It's what are we trying to understand. Because we talk about follow Jesus, follow me and I will do something with you. But why are we following? And to answer that, we need to answer the question, why did Jesus come? Why did he come? Because that will help us to answer why we follow. That's a fundamental thing for you to understand as well. Now, you may not get my logic, but it makes perfect sense to my head. In my head, for some of you English people, you're probably thinking, "Guys, not." Okay. So, fishing buddies is the idea I'm trying to do. How many of you like fishing here? Heaps of people. Wow. All right. And the idea is that those of you already fishing, but maybe you begin to get some sense of what I'm going to say. I'm not using fishing as an illustration in itself, but trying to dwell on something that is quite significant. Perhaps if I come some other time, I might use those sort of fishing examples in a lot more detail, as I would love to use them. But I want to get to the core of what I wanted to say this afternoon, so we can have that group discussion as well. I would invite you to stay with me in this whole process as well. Fishing buddies. Why follow? Why did Jesus come? And Matthew 4, 17 to 20, begin to talk about something that Jesus did in the terms, it's called some set of disciples. And here is how Jesus began, after he was being baptized by John the Baptist. And the whole drama has happened after he was being baptized. And then this is what Jesus began to do. From then on, Jesus began to preach. And this is the message. Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of God is near. Now, we know that God is a missioning God. He is a missioning God. God, in his great mercy and great grace and love, sent us Jesus Christ. And then Jesus, in his love, sends the Holy Spirit. Then the Father, the Spirit, and the Son sent the church. God sent Jesus. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. Father, Spirit, Son sent the church. And in that is the announcement of the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. Now, theologians will argue what the kingdom of God is, the kingdom of heaven is. That's not what I'm going to do here this afternoon. We can do that some other time. A very interesting conversation there. Then, as he was saying, what was he saying? He was saying, God is about to do something, and if you are not looking, you will miss it. And the only way you can look is to turn around from the ways you've been going before. It's to repent from your old ways. It's to repent from the ways that you've been going before. Because God is about to do something. God is actually set us something. And if you're not looking carefully, if your heart is not there, you might just miss it. So repent. He hasn't died on the cross yet. But that was the message from the beginning. So, one day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, I'm going to come back to Galilee in a moment, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fish for a living. So in case you don't know, the reason why they're throwing net into the water is because they're fishermen, in case you didn't get that. So Matthew needed to tell us that, you know, these guys are fishing for fishermen, so that's why they were throwing the net into the water, in case you didn't know. And I'm like, okay, well, so thanks very much, Matthew. Thank you for giving us some very detail about their job. Okay, it's all good. But then Jesus called out to them, come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. Now, that's the new translation, New Living Translation. Whereas the ESV or the HCSB will say, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So God is doing the calling, and he's doing the making, and he's doing the fishing. God is doing the calling, he is doing the making, and he is doing the fishing. God is doing the calling, the making, and the fishing. The making into a fisherman signifies a process, which means that the apostles, Simon, Peter, and Andrew, they probably didn't know what he meant. Oh, fish for people. What are we gonna like roast them and put them up for sale or something? They weren't completely sure, but they knew there was something there. Of course, they understand the sense of what Jesus was saying, but they fully knew what it was going to look like. I'm not too sure. But then, if you look at that statement, it sounds quite irresponsible, doesn't it? I mean, those of you that are fishing, imagine you go to fish with your son and children, and then, well, some guy just comes up to them and tells them, hey, guys, follow me, let's go along. And they're like, hey, dad, hey, mom. Au revoir, off we go. We're going to follow that guy. We just met him for 3 minutes. We don't even know where he's taking us, but we're going to follow him. Take care of the family business. All grace to your elbow. We're going to that with that man. They didn't even know him. Imagine how would that look to you? That looks so irresponsible, doesn't it? But here from the very beginning, Jesus made it very clear that to follow me is to fish. God sent Jesus. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit sends the church. And all of them are fishing. And all of them are fishing buddies. All of them are fishing buddies. God has invited you and I to fish with him, to be his fishing buddies. So for you to follow is to fish. There's no following without fishing, because followers are fishers. But if you look at that statement, it sounds so irresponsible. Then Jesus was in Galilee. Let me just talk about Galilee for a moment as I go on. Again, you can ask me questions as I'm talking. Galilee, the Sea of Galilee was one of the fascinating places that Jesus stayed. You know, a lot of people talk about disciples and say, oh, disciples were nothing, they were nobodies and things like that. And I see the sense of that, and I agree with that. Again, get my drift here. But if you understand Galilee very well, you will see there's a bit of a twist here. Because Galilee in those days was actually a place where there were a lot of rabbis there in Galilee. Galilee was a very cosmopolitan place. It's a strategic place where different cultures meet together. Different cultures meet together at Galilee. Galilee was very strategic. So Jesus left Nazareth to come to Galilee. And the people of Galilee were very versed in scripture. They understood the Old Testament to a reasonable degree. There were rabbis there who were already in the culture of teaching people. And there was disciples there already, because Jesus was not the one who initiated this discipleship thing. It was there before. That was part of the culture. There was a rabbi and there were followers. And they all grew from stage to stage. Bethsifa, Bethmephas, and Bethalmud, which is the last one. And at the last stage of it, you will be called a Talmudim. And what's a Talmudim? A Talmudim is someone who knows what the teacher knows, but much more than that, he wants to be like the teacher. To be a Talmudim is to actually want to be like your teacher. That's what you're seeing as. And so, if you see Peter saying to Jesus, can I come, when Jesus was walking on water? I believe that was the same mindset Jesus had, because that was his rabbi. He wanted to be like his rabbi. So he wanted to walk on water like his rabbi was walking on water as well. That was the culture in those days. So God chose Galilee, a place that was very strategic, for that mission to go and proclaim himself. And there is called this fisherman, this fishing about this. Followers fish. To follow is to fish. You cannot be a follower without a fisher. Now, there are many things that will say, Jesus, make me. Just look at it. Follow me, come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. I could say to him, what would you like Jesus to make you? Follow me, I will make you into a rich man. Who would like that? Follow me, and I will make you into a billionaire. Follow me, I will make you become a good husband. Follow me, I'll make you become a good wife. Follow me, I'll become a good dad, a good mom, a good this, a good that, the best in the class and all that. Now, I'm not saying those things are not important, don't get me wrong. But that's what Jesus said. There are many things I will wish Jesus will make me. I will wish Jesus will make me some great guy that if I just land, people will like, I don't know. There were so many things I could wish Jesus would make me. I don't know about you. What would you wish Jesus would make you? Well, he said, I will make you fishers of men, which means to follow is to fish, because it's only as you are fishing that he is beginning to transform you. It is in the process of fishing that you begin to learn, because he's going to make you. He's the one doing the making. So the making process is part of the sanctification process, and the fishing process is part of the sanctification process. So you don't wait until you are sanctified before you are fishing. You are sanctified and you are fishing at the same time. Did I wake you up? Yes! So I'll say that again. So I was meant to wake you up. So the idea is this. God is making you into something. He says, follow me and I will make you into what you are not. You are not that already, but I am the one that's going to make you into that. Not you. You'll make yourself. I'm going to make you into that. You and I have been given this awesome invitation to follow and to fish. I love this church because I know that discipleship has been emphasized in this church for a long time. And my hope is to encourage that on and to push it further in my own little way that I can do. So, question. Are you still fishing? Are you still fishing? Just think about it. Are you still fishing? I'm going to give you 2 minutes. This, I love doing that. Because I love to pause in the middle of something because I speak very fast sometimes. Just to pause people to take it in. Are you still fishing? Because followers fish. Just think about that for a moment. Let's just stay there for a moment. So when Jesus called us, he didn't say, I'm going to make you a better person. He said, I'm going to make you into fishermen. What's he saying? He says, I'm going to make you to be in the life of others what others were in your life. You know why? Because all of us were fish once. We were all fish once. And God is wanting fellow fish to go and fish for fellow fish. That's just amazing. We're all fish once. I will make you into something you are not. And in that process of making you something you are not and you're fishing for people, I will change you. And by the way, that means that if you become a Christian yesterday, you start fishing yesterday, not today. Yesterday. Because for the disciples, it was the same thing, follow fish. That was from the very beginning. It was part of the deal. They didn't fully get it, but I'm sure they have an idea of it. Because they lived in Galilee. And everyone in Galilee already knew what it means to be a disciple. And Jesus walked up to them. These were guys who didn't make the grade of being another disciple. They were in the family's business. Good in itself, but yeah, it was okay. But it wasn't like they weren't following a particular rabbi. No, they weren't following a rabbi. They were doing the family business, which means that they didn't get to the top of the top of what it means to be a Jew at the time. They were saying as fishermen, a good grade. At least they were not tax collectors. But Jesus took those guys and turned them into something they are not. So when Peter stood, after the Holy Spirit came, he spoke because something has happened. God has made him something. God is making you something. God is making you into something. And the primary front of this is making you to become a fisherman. That's it. You all, including me, are all fishermen or fisherwomen. Happy. I know what you're thinking at this point in time. I know what you're thinking at this point in time. You're probably thinking, I'm not sure I signed up for that. Anyone thinking that? I know what you're thinking. I didn't sign up for how many of you, please be honest. Please be honest. How many of you became a Christian so you can become a fisherman? A fisher of men, a fisher of people. How many of you? How many of us really became a Christian? I want to be Christian so I can fish for men, fish for women. Did anyone ever come? I don't know. I have never seen anyone come to me and say, hola, I'm going to become a fisher of men like Jesus said. That's why I want to become a Christian. We never all signed up for that as it were. Because that's what we thought. No, in fact, be honest, a lot of us became a Christian because of what Jesus can do for you. A lot of us became Christian because of what Jesus can do for you. Because there are benefits to following Jesus. There are heaps of them, I can tell you. But that's why most of us became Christian. It's like, oh, I have a bad marriage. Lord, give me a new marriage. Oh, my children don't love you, so I have a problem. I'll go to church and maybe God will solve it. And when God solves it, hey, I become a Christian. Oh, I don't know. I don't even know. My career is so in pieces. I don't know my career. Please pray for me. And people pray for you, and then you become a Christian. Now, again, I'm not saying that's not important. That is key. In fact, God is so patient. He is so patient that he actually answers all of those prayers. He is so loving that he actually answers all of those prayers. All our give me, my name is Jimmy. Okay, there's no Jimmy here. Sorry. Give me, my name is Jimmy. Sorry. But seriously, most of us became Christians because of what Jesus can do for us. Most of us became Christians because there was a particular issue that was solved. We came to God because we brought some things to Him. We came to the church because we needed that love and affection of God. There's nothing wrong in that, don't get me wrong. That's the way it should be. That's why we follow. That's what God is calling us to do. But here's what I'm trying to say to you. From eternity past to eternity future, God has chosen to take the mundane things of our everyday life, your struggles, your pain, your success, your achievements, and everything. He has taken to change all of those narratives from eternity past to eternity future. And from the time you were born to the time you go to grave to the time you go to be with Him, God has chosen to take everything in between. He has chosen to use it for His glory. And He has chosen to use every of your sorrows, of your pain, of your victories, everything. God has chosen to use all of it in its fullness, in its entirety. God has chosen to use it to bring people to Himself. God has chosen to use your successes as a career person, your success as a career housewife. And by the way, being a housewife is a work, just putting out there. If anyone's a housewife here, please get your husband to start paying you a salary. Joking. Joking. God has chosen to take all of the mundane ups and downs of reality of your everyday life. He has chosen to use that to bring people into eternal relationship with Him. So He is so patient with us when we come for His give me prayer. He is so patient with us. He answers those prayers. He responds to us in love. He responds to us in grace. But He knows why He's doing that. And the reason why He's doing that, I've come to believe and I've come to see in Scripture from what Jesus says is that I'm going to use that to bring glory to my name and bring people closer to me. That is what God is doing. I don't know where you are at. Maybe you failed in something in life. Maybe you feel that you've never achieved anything in high school. Maybe you don't think you're one of the cool people in high school. Maybe you think the people in high school don't really know you're not one of the most brilliant people, person like that. Maybe that's where you feel sometimes. Maybe you're a career person, you feel that you've never really achieved something in life. You feel like, you know what, I'm just a waste of space, a waste of time. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know you all that well. But each of our stories, each of our individual stories, when God takes all of those stories and put them together into a beautiful masterpiece, it is the most amazing, amazing thing that He uses to turn us all into fishes of men. And that is what God is doing. That's why we are fishing buddies. So through the ups and downs, and through the pain that we go through in our life, and through the success that we go through in our life, and through all of those that we go through in life, you are significantly positioned as an individual person. You are significantly positioned to be the fisher of men in somebody else's life. Let me say that again. Each of us, each of you here, you are all significantly positioned to be the fisher of men in someone else's life. Each of you here, you are all significantly positioned by God to be fishers of men in someone else's life. Same for all of you here. You are all significantly positioned to be fishers of men in someone else's life. Yes, sir.
How are you fished?
How have I fished?
Yeah.
Wonderful story.
Are you planning on sharing
a
testimony?
I was going to do that tomorrow, but I'm going to say it now. Now you brought it up. In fact, I'll wait until later because we're going to talk about that now. All of us are going to talk about that now. I'll wait till later. Please remind me. Just to tell you that I once used to be a Muslim when I was a little baby. I read the Torah, the Quran. I read them. I could recite them by heart then when I was growing up. The Muslim clerics were trying to train me to become a cleric within the Muslim community. That was the plan. But God has a better one. And so I am here today. I'll talk about that in a moment. Here's what I'm saying. Here's what God is saying. Here's what Jesus is saying. If you follow me long enough, I am going to lead you to be You're beyond your give me prayers. I will take all of the mundane stuff in your everyday life and use it to bring eternal value to your life. So God is saying, you are all strategically positioned by God to be fishers of men in somebody else's life where I cannot be and you cannot be. I understand that in my literature that I pastor, and I tell my leaders all the time, there are some people that I will never be able to connect with. I can put my head down, put my leg up, try and do some gymnastics, connect them. I will never be able to connect them, but they can connect with them better than I will do. So I will continue to equip them and train them so that they can do that better. Each of you. So it's not only for those who have great testimonies. Oh, you know what? You have the most powerful testimony. You just share your testimony and people just start crying and give their life to God. Me, I have a boring testimony, so I've got nothing to say. I'm just going to keep short and sit here. God help you. No. It doesn't matter. Oh, you are the most brilliant. All of you can talk and dramatize. You've got that stuff going for you. Good on you, boy. Carry on, Ola. For me, I'm just going to, you know, do my own quiet thing here. There are some people that are put off by my passion that would like your gentleness and calmness. We are all positioned significantly in the hands of God. And God is leveraging all of that. God is, and here's the word I'm using, God is leveraging all of that to bring people to his kingdom. And that's why you were important. And that's why your story matters. Your story matters. Your story matters. Can we just do a little exercise? I like doing it in my little church. Pastor, I like them to tell each other. So can you tell each other, your story and my story matter? Can we do that? Is that okay? Let's do that. Your story, my story matter. Yes. Yeah? Your story and my story matter to God who is eternal. And here is what God is saying to you. God is saying to you and I. Jesus is saying, when you follow me, I will make something that is temporal to leverage what is eternal. I like using these words because they help me to make sense of what I'm trying to say. And here is what God is saying to you. You see, your marriage... I'm sorry to say this, but somebody's going to die someday. Your business, it's not going to last forever. Your children may not like it. They may want something else for themselves. Your education, if you go to school, you have good education, but you probably don't get a job. Oh, will God give you a job? Of course he wants to give you a job. In bigger scheme of things, isn't that a temporary reality? This life is coming to an end someday because there's something eternal coming. But God is saying, I'm not just making a temporal thing look like. That's why your building that you're doing is not just some... I believe it's a significant part of the purpose of God to use it for his glory so as to get you connected with community, connected down there where people are at, and you can use your individual stories and those ladies who do this stuff and all of the things that you guys do at your church. I would love to come and visit someday. God is going to use all of those together for his glory. And it's going to take something that is temporal to leverage what is eternal as well. I was going to ask Phil to share a story with us, but I'll ask her to do it at the end. Just she shared a story with me at lunch that I thought would be helpful in terms of why we need to do this together. But I'll ask her to share it at the end. And one of the things that happened recently at our youth camp is when I joined the church, there was this little young girl. I was going to read the letter to you, but I didn't ask her permission, so I can't read it to you because I never asked her permission to do that. So I won't be able to read it to you. I forgot to ask permission. I'm sorry for that. After the youth camp was called Storytellers, and she was one of the girls that I met when I first joined the church, and she was so troublesome, my goodness. She was really troublesome. And she was really very, very destroyed, really, as a young girl. She liked everyone, every girl, she liked every boy, and she just cries all the time, and she wants to talk to me at 1 in the morning, which is on holy hours for me. And she just really in a place where, as a 14-year-old, I wouldn't understand why a 14-year-old would be in that place. I wouldn't get it. I wouldn't understand why a 14-year-old would be like that. I spoke to the mom. I wanted to get them to get her to see a psychologist because God's providence also works with professional people. So doctors and nurses and psychologists are part of God's providence. They're not evil, as some people think. And I spoke to the mom, but the mom wouldn't even budge. She wouldn't even go and see a psychologist. You know what she told me? You fix her. Like, I'm not supposed to take your job for you. I'm just a pastor. They spend more time with you than they spend with me, you know. And we kept on this relationship with her, and I invited another lady leader to come into the relationship as well. And we started this whole conversation with this girl. And at camp, and I can't even tell you all the things that happened because I didn't tell her, I didn't ask her permission. There's so many very bad stuff really happened to a 14-year-old girl. I can't even imagine that. But towards the camp, she was just crying one night during our campfire. So we went to her, "What's going on? Why are you crying?" And here's what she said. Just in a paraphrase, "When I hear everybody else's story and what they've gone through, I realize that I'm not alone. I realize I'm not the only one. And I realize that God loves them as much as He loves me, even with all the things I've been through. And you know what, Ola? Thank you for never giving up on me. Because the story of all of these people here at this camp has shaped me differently." And here's what she said. She said, "Please continue to help me because I don't want to slip back again, ever." If a 14-year-old can get that, what else do you want? What else do you want? So the good news is that this is not a solo mission. Because if I tell you, go fish for people, go fish, go fish, you're going to be scared. In fact, the reason why some of you have not been able to actually really, really fish, or some of us have not been able to really fish, is because we are so scared to do it by ourselves. What if I said the wrong thing? How many of you said that before? What if they ask me a question I cannot answer? That's a big one I get in my church. "Oh, hold on, but what if they ask me something I don't know how to tell them?" I'm like, "Oh, chill, man. Take a chill pill." The reason why most of us don't actually share our faith and share our story is because oftentimes we feel that we have to do it alone. We feel that, you know, it's just me and this person at this point in time in history. So it's kind of difficult. Hola. "Pastor Roger, you know, I listen to you every Sunday. I listen to you all the time, and you say it all the time. But you know, this isn't enough confidence I don't have. I don't know if my story is important. I don't know if my life is actually making any sense. So how can I share a story? Well, I've got a boring story to share, so no one's going to listen. Why would they listen? I wouldn't even, they will fall asleep while I'm talking, so don't worry. I want to show you something that will help us to get this together. And we can know that there's a beautiful partnership that exists between an individual, the church, the community of God, and the message of the gospel. And all of these things are supposed to work together to the glory of God. That's how we are fishing buddies. Now, I'm giving you a shorter version of a full version here. All right, so here's what we're saying. So here's what as we say in Matthew writing about some things that happened. And Matthew is one of the disciples of Jesus, you all know. And so Matthew said, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, I love Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" Hey, guys. Now, please don't go ask what people say about you because I'm not sure you want to hear. If I don't want to know. "But who do people say I am? Who do people say the Son of Man is?" Well, they replied, "Some say John the Baptist." Now, that's like double reincarnation happening right there. John the Baptist has been killed at this point. How would they think John the Baptist? "Oh, some say Elijah." You know, Elijah was a passionate prophet running up the hill and those sort of things. So maybe it was Elijah. Others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. People have different things to say. But then he said, "Okay, no, let's get down to business. You guys have been with me for a long time. You guys have spent time with me. Who do you say I am? Who do you lot say I am?" Then our brother Simon Peter, the very fast one. "Hey, I know. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And if you could forbid me to just express this to you, you know what? There are many denominations all over the world. There are many things happening in Brisbane, all over the different churches. You just talk about another church that's supporting you and helping you in this breeding project as well. There are many, many churches, many, many denominations, many, many things. Now, we all argue. In fact, this particular scripture is a big argument among theologians. I'm not going to go there this afternoon. There's so much argument on what Jesus meant here. But there's all lot of the churches, all our denominations, everything all over the world, different cultures. You hear different cultures, different people coming together into a beautiful thing. And one thing, the fundamental thing that all of us can agree on, that bring all of us together, is that simple message: you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That is the message that brings all of us together. We can argue until our eyes pop out, but we know for sure He is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. You can put on a cleric, you can put on your a long hair as a guy, whatever you want to do, but you will all agree on that fundamental statement, the message of the gospel, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. We all agree on that, don't we? And here he went away. Oh, you reply, yes, but yes, blessed, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, son of Jonah, some of the says. Because my Father in heaven revealed this to you. I won't go into the details of that. He did not learn this from a human being. Now hear what it says. Now I say to you that you, Peter, which is the rock, upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. I just want to bring a principle that I think is very helpful here. Now again, to all the pastors in the house, please feel free to just point to this in the church if you don't agree with it. But here is what I found fascinating about here. Upon this rock, is it Peter? Or is it the confession that Peter just made? The easier one is to say that the confession that Peter just made. Sir? Disciple, the confessing disciple. Yes? Disciple. Yeah. Okay? But we see in Acts of Apostles when Peter stood up and began to preach, he was scared to death when Jesus Christ was being crucified. He was so scared. But when he came to Acts, he boldly preached. Boy, the 3,000 people came their life to God. Boy, was he the first preacher to preach as well. That tells me something. I've got to look at that. Then you have upon this rock. And then it says, I will build my church. Now, church, we're all still there. Everybody here, that's church. But at this time, the word used there was the word ecclesia, which just came from the word kaleo, hek kaleo, which means that in those days, what they would do is, when they wanted to make a decision in the city, they will ask people to come, and those people will come, and the call that once will make the decision for them as they discuss and deliberate on those things as well. Now, I can't go into the history of that here at the moment, but well, the essence of the kaleo then was that people always gather on issues and matters, and they become witness to that particular thing. Now, every Messiah must also have a community, because there is no Messiah without his community. Jesus says, I will build a community. Upon this rock, here's what I'm trying to say to you. There is something in the confession that we all agree on. There is something in the confessing disciple who is the messenger as well. And there's something in the community as well that comes together so beautifully here when we look at it in the context of the whole scripture. It is not just the message. It is also the messenger. And it's not just the messenger, it is also the community. And when you look at the whole length and breadth of Scripture, why did God call Paul? He was a messenger. Why did he use Peter the way he used them? Why did he use James and all of them the way he used them? He used them in different ways to reach different people. So, what am I saying? There's the power of the message will always remain the same. But God will use in his own sovereignty, take each of your story as messengers, as fishermen, put it into that story, this big story, and plant you into a community, and together you fish for people. And if you try to do it alone, you miss the point of the calling. You miss the point of the calling. There is something powerful here, which I won't have time to expand on as we go into Pauline writings and all the other things that Jesus said to us today. Yes, sir?
I think what you're saying is there's something very, very unique and powerful about the gathered
community of God. Now, that's where I'm going.
I think this outside, that's very potent.
Yes. And what I'm trying to say to you is this, sir, and ladies and gentlemen, that's what I'm trying to say to you. God has chosen to bring people to himself through the church. He could have chosen anything else. He could have chosen anywhere else. But he has chosen the church as the primary message, to declare the primary message of the gospel to as many people as possible. So your community, Southside International, is part of that community all over the world as fishers of men. To do it alone. And that's what we'd like to do. We'd like to do it alone. We'd like to go alone. I do my own thing. Everyone just do their own thing. No. But there's something beautiful about this community. That's a witness to the message of the gospel. So you're not supposed to do it alone. I want to show you a video, and then I'm going to take you into the next slide that we're going to do very quickly as well.
Churches are full of people. The broken, the lonely, the wanderers, the hopeful, the enthusiastic, the lost, the passionate, and the faithful. For many, this gathering represents the whole of their church experience. They'll listen attentively to a message, they'll sing a few songs, they'll be invited to pray, and then they'll return to their lives. But for some, questions will start bubbling to the surface of their faith. Is this the extent of what Jesus intended for his followers? Who is the church for? Why does the world need the church, and what is the church after all? Well, a church isn't a building where people attend weekly services. It's not a program, a list of rules, or a philosophy. The church isn't a political affiliation, a country club, or a holiday tradition. The church was never intended to be just an assembly of people wearing nice clothes and saying nice things. The church is all the followers of Jesus everywhere. The Greek word for church is the word ekklesia. It's the combination of two words, ek, which means out, and kaleo, meaning called. Thus the church, the ecclesia, means the called out ones. In other words, the church, the collective body of all the followers of Jesus everywhere, is called out by someone for something, for a purpose. The beginning of the book of Acts has Jesus calling his disciples to a task, bringing something called the gospel, the good news, to all the world. And this gospel would go out to all the outsiders, the forgotten, the abandoned, and the excluded. And they, those outsiders, would see and receive that good news as actually good. When Jesus talked about the gospel, it was always in conjunction with something else, something called the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, God's purposes are made apparent. There's justice and righteousness. There's hope for the poor, for the oppressed. And under the kingdom of God, mercy and forgiveness take precedence over bitterness and resentment. Now, people previously deemed to be far from God are brought into his family, adopted as his sons and daughters. And the fullness of the kingdom of God, according to Jesus, is not merely expressed as a way for people to escape an evil world when they die. Rather, the good news of God's kingdom is about the announcement of God's eternity, moving into the present world and carrying on into the life to come. The people who belong to Jesus join him in his worldwide restoration project. And the called out ones, the church, are committed to advancing this good news of God's kingdom into the world. Not as a means of helping people avoid the world, but rather to see God's kingdom life being made real here and now. The whole church, with the power of the whole gospel, for the whole world.
And I hope that helped you see something that I'm trying to say in its fullness of it. The video kind of explained it even way better. As I begin to wrap up this afternoon, I want us to do an exercise that I think will help us. I won't be able to give a lot of introduction to this, but I think this is going to help us a lot to get what I'm trying to say when you experience it together as a community. We are story people because we carry the story of the gospel. And like I said, your story matters to God, and he wants to use your story. He wants to use your story. And we need to do that together as a church, as a community, because there's something beautiful about that. There's something so beautiful about that. So here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want us to do together. In groups, I want you to talk about how you became a follower of Jesus. Just talk about that quickly. Maybe a couple of you will talk about how you became a follower of Jesus. Then you will look at Luke 5, 1 to 11. Just have a glance through it. As you glance through it, just try to narrate the story to each other without reading it again. So just tell the story to each other without reading it again. And I'll tell you why we're doing that at the end. And then chat about the story, tell about how sharing a story might help you start spiritual conversation with people. And I want to help you to see that in the culture we live today, it's a culture about story. And the more we get into the heart of story, understanding that very well, the helpful it becomes in helping us to begin to share the burden of what it means to fish for people together. And I know this exercise may be a bit difficult for some of us, but if you just try it, honestly, you will get it very, very easily as well. So it's a very simple one. Share in your group how you became a follower of Jesus, and also read the Luke 5, 1 to 11, which I just talked about, and also share how storytelling can help you just from reading that thing. Now, let me just explain what is happening in Luke. When we read the Matthew passage, Matthew 4, you will think that it's everybody responsible. Now, when they follow Jesus, they follow because of what he has done to them as well. In Luke 4, they actually saw Jesus help them catch so many fish. What did Jesus say? They said, "You've been fishing, I know, in the night, but now I want you to fish in the afternoon. I want you to do what you've always done before in a different way. And Peter said, "At your word, we'll do it." And when they caught so many fish, it was after them they left and followed him. It was also after the disciples saw what Jesus did that they actually followed him. So all our give me prayers have something in the place, in the kingdom, in God's story. And he's going to use that for his glory as well. And as he's doing that, he wants to use that story to touch other people's lives as well. He wants to use your story, your unique story, to touch other people's life as well. So here's what I want you to do. Please, just for the next 5-10 minutes, not long, just a small exercise. I wish I had enough time to do that and to do it in its fullness, but we can't do that today. But just do that. And share in group how actually storying as a community actually helps you to actually share the love and faith of Jesus Christ as well. So now, just for the next 5-10 minutes, we're going to do that, and then we're going to stop, and I'll continue this tomorrow morning. All right, so you can just sit in groups of 3, 4, however way you like it, and let's just do that. Let's just do that. If you don't understand, please shout out, and I'll just explain again. That will be helpful as well. Can we all just come together? Come together. I would love to give us more time, but we'll have to stop there. My intention was not to make us finish the whole thing, but just to get us into a taste of what I'm trying to say. And we'll talk about this some more tomorrow morning as well when I finalize this whole thing. At the end of tomorrow morning, we'll be able to bring the piece of everything I'm saying together in one beautiful masterpiece all together. Here are 3 implications of what I'm trying to say this afternoon. Number one, we have the message of the gospel. It's clear all the time. Number two, you have your story and your narrative, just as Matthew, James, and John. They were doing their own business and doing their own thing. They have no fish, but Jesus gave them fish, and then they followed him afterwards. They have their own story as well. They had a story before they met Jesus. And after they've gone to Jesus, they also have a story that we see in the Acts of Apostles. There's a story of the gospel. There is your story. And God wants to use both of those together to bring people closer to him. So each of your story matters to God in that reality. And if we could learn to just share the story of the gospel and see if we could learn to share with people how your story intersects with the story of God, perhaps begin to bring some life and flesh and blood into the gospel itself. And the third thing is this. The church needs to be a safe place. And this is where I was going to ask Phil and Phil to please to come and share us the story you should share with me. But I'll just say it if you don't mind. Now, one of the things she said to me was that somebody was going to come to church, the Lenten bread of it, somebody was going to come to church, and then the person didn't come, and she was wondering, maybe there was something the church did that didn't make her want to come. Did I get it right?
She was struggling with alcoholism.
Yes. Yes. She didn't feel safe to come. And how can the community help? We need to make our community a safe place for this sort of stories, even the most ridiculous one, to happen. Because it is only in those messiness of life that God glorifies himself. So your God story is there. Your story is there. And as a story community, when we bring it all together, that beautiful masterpiece, and share them with each other, and see how the Bible brings life to them, like we've just done now in a small way, we become fishing buddies together. And that's the beauty of what God is calling us to be. Fishers of men, together. Together. Thank you for a wonderful afternoon. Thank you again for having me here. It's been a awesome privilege in many ways. I wish I could say more things, but I hope what I've said is enough in itself. And I trust God and His Holy Spirit to bring understanding to people as you think about it in more details as well. Please chat to me about anything. I'll be happy to do that. And tomorrow I will tell my story, and I can tell you to in person as well. But tomorrow I'll say a bit of a lot about myself in a way as well. Thank you for a wonderful afternoon, everyone.